Let's open our text into the book of Luke, chapter 4, and I'm reading from verses 16 through 19. Yeah, Luke chapter 4, from 16 through 19, the Lord says, "And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.'" This is God's word. Let's pray. Our great God, that time for us to hear more about Jesus has come again, and we pray that you help us only talk more about Jesus Christ and less, if not at all, about ourselves. We want to speak not only more about Jesus Christ, but everything about Jesus Christ. Teach us your truth again this morning. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. As we continue in our series about evangelism. Yeah, just to remind you quickly on what we've covered so far. That when you go out, as we are going to go out today, you go to preach. And this preaching needs to be accompanied by teaching or making things clearer. But also, let apologetics or defense of the faith be ready. Yeah, just in case someone wants to refute your faith, you try to defend it without going into arguments. So as you go out to preach, what? The gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel, this is the message of the evangelism. It's the good news. No more, no less than that. It's the good news. But today we are looking at that good news. But last Sunday I labored to show you that this good news has got a foundation. Yeah, which helps it sink better into people's hearts. And that is the bad news. As we saw last week, yeah, the bad news is truly bad. Yeah, you have things you hate in this life. You don't want to be poor. You don't want to fall sick. And above all else, you don't want to die. Yeah, that's why whenever you go to some churches, they ask you to tell your neighbor that I'll not die. And you comfort yourself with such words. You start telling your neighbor, "I'll never die." But that's a lie. You'll suffer. You'll fall sick, and you'll die, whether you like it or not. So this is the bad news. Last week we saw how it came about. It came through disobeying God's command. Remember, before we disobeyed God's command, can someone help us sit in between these kids, the kids here in the front? Maybe someone can sit in between them. It can help a bit, yeah. One kid can go somewhere else and a mature person sits in between them. Yeah, that will help. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Yeah, so, what have I been? Yeah, so the bad news. Came about after mankind had disobeyed the command of their creator. And I told you that how many human beings always put the blame or their sufferings and problems on the back of God. Reason why they don't want even to hear anything about him. If he was loving, why does he allow all these things to happen, all the suffering in the world? And then I showed you how God created whatever he created, and he looked at them and said they were lovely, they were very good. And on top of that, he created man on the sixth day. And he poured his love upon him by putting him in charge of his other creation. How else did you want God to love you or to show you love? And he put you in his beautiful garden with everything good to eat, on condition that you don't eat from that tree that was in the middle of the garden. And then after that, another voice came and proves to you, they expounded to you how God is a liar and not a well-wisher. He does not wish others well. He wants to remain God alone. And he knows that the day you eat from that tree, you'll be like him. Just try, you'll bear me witness. Because from your nature, you wanted to be like God. You went ahead and ate from the fruit. Because if you are not interested, you would have said, no, I'm glad the way I am. I'm not interested in being like God. But you wanted to be like God. The spirit that is within you, mankind, is totally different from the spirit that is in the Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to scripture, although he was like God from the beginning, did not see that being, remaining like God is something to grasp, to retain. Are you see the contrast here, the difference between us, human beings, with Christ, who is God? He lowered himself. But we wanted to elevate ourselves. That's where really, when I even look into myself, I say, oh, I always want to be like God, like this. Would have just said, no, we are not interested. And trouble came in. God came and offered judgment. Listen to these words that he taught to Adam in verse 19. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread. till you return to the ground. For out of it you are taken. For you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Even if you are chasing after wealth and fame, because you are dust, you return to dust one day. That's the bad news. And again, I told you that there is a news that is more bad than this. Hell. Future says teach about hell. We will be having a series on hell here one time. It's just terrible. Because Jesus Christ is God. And being God, he knows all things. And he said, it will be terrible in hell. Whatever you call suffering here is not even 1 out of 1 billion compared to the suffering that will be in hell. But this disobedience that brought in sin opened the wide gate to hell. And this morning, even as I preach this sermon, many here are on their way to hell. Candidates for hell. Until you repent and believe the gospel. But there's something before we turn to our message today, the message of the Evangelion part 2, the good news. Yeah, because human beings still want to find fault with God. They say, no, still, he is to blame. He is still to blame, the cause of all this. Why did he put that tree there? At the first place? And the answer is simple, for the sake of obedience. He wanted to see whether you'd obey him. So if you still believe that God is not loving, even as he was pronouncing judgments, there is some good news in his judgment pronouncement. Still in Genesis chapter 3, I'm still there. Verse 15, he was judging the serpent. And he says, I will put enmity between you and the woman. And between your offspring and the offspring. Listen to this. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. The very first words of the good news found in the Bible are these ones. The promise, okay, of the Messiah, the one who will come to crush the head of the devil. But not only that, they have disobeyed him. And now these people are naked. They are trying to cover their own nakedness, making clothes out of leaves. But they could easily dry up and fall down. And they get new leaves or fresh leaves. And this God that you've already slapped in the face looks at you. Remember, inside you, you don't have anything like saying sorry. It's not part of your nature. If these days you try to go to people and say, I'm sorry for what I did, it's because of grace. The Spirit of Christ who lives in you. But naturally, all human beings are not meant to apologize or to repent. Adam did not. Instead of repenting, he started throwing, blame to the wife. Our first mother did not. Also shifted the blame to the serpent. And yet, those are our representatives. Where do you think you'll get the power to say sorry to others? From where? So they did not repent before God. But check verse 21. And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skin and clothed them. Even before they repented. Even without repenting, because if you are saying before they, it's as if they repented at last. They didn't. Even without them repenting. He looks at them. Out of his love. He sees them struggle. Because they did not want to be naked. He makes them garments and clothes them himself. Get these words, we'll come back to them a bit later. He did not make them these clothes and put them before them. Okay, oh, my dear wife, these are nice clothes from skin, and get one and let us put them on. No! They didn't know. They didn't know the origin of the clothes, even how the clothes came to be on their bodies. He clothed them himself. And you still say, no, he's still not loving. It's okay. Now, as we turn to good news today. Remember, I told you that the gospel is simply news. If the bad news did not take place, then today we would not be calling it good news. No, it would be just calling it news. Yeah, it is good vis-a-vis to the bad news that first came to us. In this room this morning, many people are going to heaven here. I don't know them because I'm not God. God knows them. He's seeing them here. But my question is, how? After slapping the face of God, the living God, how do you even entertain your mind that you'll be in heaven one day? This is what we call good news. God, through his grace and mercy, came up with the only solution for the misery, suffering and death of mankind. He came up with the only solution. There are not two. This makes an end to all your suffering, to all your misery, to all your death. The good news is that this solution is found in a person. Jesus of Nazareth. Or in other words, the good news is a person. In Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, we read this. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field. Keeping watch over their flock by night. Verse 9. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. 10. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you what? Good news. And listen to the words from the angel of the Lord. This is not simply good news, but good news of a great joy. This good news does not bring simply joy, but it brings a great joy. There's a difference between joy and a great joy. The good news is not yet out here, not yet. So he's just informing them not to fear, because I've brought you good news of great joy. He continues, and this good news will be for all the people. Now the good news is coming from the mouth of the angel. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. So I want you to put attention on of great joy. Then put attention on the word Savior, Christ and Lord. Verse 12. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And they left the shepherds. The good news is a person. This person is the Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Now, we find the mission of the Savior in our text this morning. Don't forget, never forget the definition that we are going with in this series. What is evangelism? Evangelism is preaching the gospel with an aim to persuade. So in other words, when you go out even this very day to evangelize, you need to have an aim. And the greatest missionary ever, the Lord Jesus Christ, who left all the glories of heaven and came down on earth, had a mission. It did not just come to see how earth looks like. He had a mission, which we find in these in Luke chapter 4, verses 17 and 19. So now, after being tempted by the devil, he came to Nazareth. And as his custom, he went into the synagogue. And he was given a scroll of Isaiah. He stood up to read. And he opened exactly to Isaiah 61. And he read these words: the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recover of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. In these words, we find the mission, what had brought Jesus Christ down here. And the mission of Christ, all these steps, this is what we call good news. At number one, in verse 18, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Meaning that I am here and I do whatever I do by divine appointment. The Spirit of the Lord inspires me to do and to say whatever I do or say. The question is, do you do and say whatever you say and do by the Spirit of God? So he's introducing his mission. He's not yet there. He's just telling the congregation that listen carefully to my words, because they have the stamp of the Lord. His Spirit is upon me, because he has anointed me. And in the Old Testament, the prophets, kings, and priests used to be set apart by their work by anointing with oil. Before that happens, you cannot enter your office. So those who are set apart to serve God as prophets, priests, and kings, all of them, whether priest, king, or prophet, they were called the Lord's anointed. God called King Cyrus my anointed one. So this is the reason why in Luke chapter 2 the angel says that this baby who has been born in the city of David for you is not only a savior but also Christ, meaning the anointed one. And not only Christ, but also Lord. And in our text today, the anointed one himself, because you might say, those were just the words from the angels. But the anointed one himself, the good news himself, confirms the angel's good news when he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me." He has set me apart, in other words. So he has set me apart to do what? This is the aim of Christ's mission on earth. And now he starts breaking down what does God set him apart to come and do. And the first one is to proclaim good news. Do you again the word to proclaim? Huh? So now, it is good or joyful message. Glad tidings. So he wants to come and proclaim this good news to the poor. Who are these poor? The miserable, the hopeless, the afflicted, the sick, the dying, just like you. They die. ETC. Which good news did Jesus preach when he was here below? The list is endless. Let me give you just one, two, or three. I don't know, maybe. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, we read this. From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Wait a minute. What have you just said, Jesus? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You mean there's hope for stinking rebels to go and be with God they rebelled against in heaven? Is what are you meaning here? But how can that happen? Jesus, this is an amazing good news, friends. Remember the illustration I gave you last week? Your father has been sick with stage 4 cancer. But none of you knew at home. You just knew that your father was sickly. But he was left with only a few hours to die. And then he goes for a test. They tell him, no, you are cancer free. So you are not going anywhere. He will just say, okay, thank you. We know he has been sickly. But if you had known the bad news before, 7 doctors in 7 different cities in the world had confirmed that he was dying within hours. Because of his stage 4 cancer. And then as you are waiting for the last 10 minutes, and yes, now is maybe on his deathbed, and something happens, they tell you, no, you are cancer free, you are no longer dying. The mother, the children will be, what are you just talking about? I can't believe this. Let's go and test again. He has stage 4 cancer. They proved it everywhere. This can't happen. This is exactly the same thing that happens when the Spirit of Christ tells you that you are going, no longer going to hell, but to heaven. Hence, the importance of expounding to these people about the bad news. Another good news that came from the mouth of Christ says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. What? There is hope for rest? Matthew 11:28. Again he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 14:6. The one who said these words is God, who knows all things. No one does what? No one comes to the Father that we have rebelled against. That can't happen. But he is telling you, God in the flesh, that it's being made possible now through me. After telling them that he came to proclaim good news to the poor, then he continues, he has sent me. This is God the Father, has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives. Okay, you can say, I'm not poor. I'm not miserable. But you are. Even our dear president is very poor and very miserable. Even though you would like to be like him, I really don't want to be like him. Not in any way. Because he's miserable. Apart from that, he has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives. After deliberately allowing to obey the words of a liar, of the liar, in the Garden of Eden, immediately we became captives of the devil. If you are not in the Lord Jesus Christ, where you are seated right now, you are in chains. Whether you have money or not, we don't care, the chains are on you. You are a captive. Every human being is born a captive. Your 1 hour old baby is a captive. Jesus says, I've come to proclaim liberty. There is that option. And when you hear of Jesus, he was just reading, because you find the same words in Isaiah 61. Let me give you some background of Isaiah 61 that Jesus was quoting. This was the prophecy of Isaiah to the children of Israel, who also, like you, because of their disobedience to God, had been captives in Babylon for 70 full years. And then Babylon, they were miserable, afflicted, oppressed, with no hope whatsoever. Just try to imagine yourself, you've been under oppression for 70 years. The hope had gone. Where is that great God of our ancestors? He has forgotten all about us for 70 full years. And the Lord brought this prophecy into Isaiah. He was prophesying towards those captives. And then Bath, the Lord uses King Cyrus. He softens his heart and he proclaims liberty to the captives of Israel. He allows them to go back to their own country so that you build up the temple of the Lord. The Lord softens his heart to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor unto his children. Isaiah didn't know that he was talking about Jesus, not at all, the Messiah. No. He knew that this message for me, Isaiah, from the Lord and to his people who are in bondage. And the great deliverer comes and says, those words were spoken about me. Just as he ended his reading, I said, these words have been fulfilled in your hearing today. Now, when Isaiah delivered this prophecy to the children of Israel, do you know what happened? They did not believe him at first, because of too much bad news, too much suffering. The children of Israel did not easily believe this good news. Hence, the words that you find in Psalm 126, they are also related to Isaiah 61. Let me read for you just verse 1 up to 3. Psalm 126. It says, when the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was full of laughter, and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then they said among the nations, The Lord has done great things for them. In verse 3, the children of Israel also repeat what the nations are saying. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. They say, when they first heard the prophecy from Isaiah, I remember one song of Baba Wilson Bukembe say when I was my first trip to London. I could not believe that I was the one seated in the plane. Because flying in a plane in Africa is a miracle. And he says, he was pinching himself. Am I dreaming or this is a reality? These people also said, what has Isaiah just said? Because we believe he speaks for God. Does he mean that there is hope for us to get out of this misery? Yes, that's what he means. And after realizing that it's not a dream, it's a reality, then you find them in verse 2. See, then our mouth was full of laughter. But this is not to be slain in the spirit and start laughing like a mad person. Not that. That's the laughter of joy. And our tongues with shouts of joy. How can this happen? Then they said among the nations. Now these are the nations speak among themselves. The Lord has done great things for them. And then the children of Israel also repeated the same words. Yes, the Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. We are glad. And whoever has entered the great things that the Lord has done for humanity, he's glad. Always. Whether you have food or not, whether you are rich or not, you are glad. If your situation of poverty still brings sorrow to you, pray for yourself. You have a problem. I'm not saying you should not do anything against poverty. No. But it should not cause sorrow into your life. The other boy, the other girl has chat you and they find you somewhere crying real tears. Real tears. These days you are not happy. What's wrong with you? She said she no longer loves me. He said he no longer loves me. Pray for yourself. Isaiah had no idea he was prophesying about the real liberty from the captivity of Satan. That people receive in Christ. So he continues after. So he says he came. He has come to set you free. Yeah, to proclaim liberty to you captives of sin. And we sing here, for our God is able to deliver us. We sing that hymn here. He's able to deliver thee. He's able to deliver thee. You are oppressed by sins. Come to Christ in faith. Because he is able to deliver you. He delivered many of your brethren in this room. Not only that, he also came for the recovering of sight to the blind. So you are not only captive because of sin, but you're also blind. You don't see. Say, but Pastor B, my eyes have never had any problem since I was born. They see the things of this world that help in no way. And the reason why you are fighting that your eyes go to and they see New York. What? New York is rubbish. You don't see anything spiritual. You are blind. You see him hanging there calling you, come for life. I mean, what I'm saying, he is there, but you can't see him. And he also came to set liberty those who are oppressed. You will be free if you embrace Christ. He also came to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And you might say, but this is the Jesus of the New Testament. But I told you the proto-evangelism that the theologians call proto, the first ever evangel in the Bible. God promising the crusher of the devil for you. The second good news, God coming your way, coming to you, even without your repentance. There. Don't say, oh, Pastor B said, even if I don't repent, you have to repent. Yeah, I know preachers, we are in trouble. We are so much misinterpreted. So we need to be very careful to explain our words well. Pastor Bill, you say this. Did I say that? No, I didn't. But he came and closed them. He came and closed them with a garment. Jesus Christ is not only a son of Mary and Joseph in the new covenant. You find him throughout the Bible. And the way he came to save us is portrayed even in the Old Testament. In our first reading today, let's go there to the book, and I show you the book of Numbers 21. Our first reading today came from Numbers 21. You know, many of you are familiar with what went on here. Almost the same scenario like in the Garden of Eden. God had chosen a people from among all the nations of the world, said, this will be my own. The children of Israel. But they did not obey their God. And God said, okay, I'll punish you. Send them into bondage in Egypt. But after crying again 70 years, for many, many years, more than 70 years by then in Egypt, in bondage, he set them free. And now as they were coming back towards the promised land, okay, they went sinning all the time. They went sinning all the time. Just as you sin every day of your life, you sin. In your speech, you sin. In your actions, you sin. They went sinning. And then they reach somewhere at Mount Hor. They set out by the way of the Red Sea. So now, here they reach close to the promised land. You could even see the mountains of the promised land. After walking for almost 40 years. So their hearts are happy. They know we're about to end this and enter the land of full of milk and honey. Only to hear that their brothers, the Edomites, refuse them entry or passage through their land, which was the only shortcut. A few days, or if not a few hours, you are there in Canaan. They say, no, you are not passing through our land. So they had to go and turn around now, a very long cut. So as they were going back, the hearts of the children of Israel again died. And again they started saying these words. Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food here, there is no water here. You and your God, Moses. They sinned terribly. And God was annoyed. The way he is annoyed with your sins every day. He is not happy with you. And whenever God is not happy with you, he brings judgment. He brought judgment of suffering and death to our first parents. Here he brought judgment of fiery serpents. And they started biting the children of Israel. I wish I had time, I would really explain to you about these fiery serpents. But they were terrible. Obviously, we cannot compare Ebola with Corona. Corona is nothing. Yeah, Corona, we could use our covering into these African water and you'll be better. But you can't do that with Ebola. Ebola, if you are lucky, you have only 1 week and you won't be with us again. But the poison that these fiery serpents had was far worse than Ebola. Because they were killing within hours. When they sting you, your temperature rises to an extreme temperature. Your body swells. So they bring too much pain in your body. That by the time you breathe your last, you've suffered a lot. And the children of Israel started dying like grasshoppers. The parents could see their children die, their beloved one. Parents, children could see their parents die. Friends. Not like these ones, at least not like Adam and Eve, who said, no, let's go and repent. They went to the same person they've been insulting. You are stupid, you Moses. You just brought us to kill us here. But he was again the sole mediator. They went back to him. Said, Moses, we are dying. We know that we have sinned against the Lord by speaking against you and him. But check, our dear ones are dying. And we are also going. Please plead for us before the Lord. This man Moses is another character that I've not understood in the Bible. Not this pastor of today. I said, no, me, Bill. What Marvin did to me, Karawe, let him feel it. He does not give me respect. I cannot recommend you. You first feel it. Moses was not like that. He goes unto the Lord, what's this? Lord, what are you doing? Your people, those who said you love, are dying. The merciful God, full of mercy and grace, looked at his people, die, cry to him, said, Moses, do A, B, C, D. That will be the solution. And Moses immediately works very fast. Put the brazen serpent up on the pole. And he proclaimed to the children of Israel, listen to me. The Lord has told me to do this for you. And he says, whoever will fix their eyes there will live. If you are not yet stung, you will not be stung. Even if you are already stung, The poison will disappear immediately. Some people who wanted to put intellectualism in this started saying, how can me just looking at this cure me? This is too shallow. I have my PhD in I don't know what. I can't. And they died. But those who fixed their eyes there in faith lived. And those who are their loved ones, you see that, oh, when I put there my eyes there, immediately I was well. Then they started struggling to make sure their loved ones also fixed their attention there. Maybe say, okay, my son, please look there, look. You see what I'm doing, friends? You don't do this. Check with me. You are putting your eyes on the crow or on the bronze serpent. Don't remove them and say, my daughter, my wife, my son, look there. Let them remain there. That's the solution. They have to remain fixed there. At least according to the Hebrew words here, it is not to look at the serpent, but to fix your eyes there. You don't just look there and say, okay, then I'm cured. Okay, now also, my friend Joseph, look there. My wife, look there. Continue encouraging them and your own eyes remain there. And Jesus Christ says, just as Moses lifted the serpent in the wilderness, in the same way the Son of Man will be lifted on the cross. Fix your eyes to him, not these ones, your eyes of faith. Fix them. And once you put them there, I beg you, don't remove them from Jesus. Fix them on him. He is life. Eternal life. Those among you who are fixing their eyes on him, you no longer feel the pressure of this world. I'm not telling you that you not suffer here. You will. But Brother Paul says that when you compare the suffering here with the glory that is awaiting us, this is nothing. This is rubbish. That's why a true Christian will say, I'll not steal this money although I don't have money for food tomorrow. Look and live, my brother, look. Look to Jesus today and live. This is the message of the evangelism. As you go out, try to do this. Within the shorter time, you won't take 1 hour like Pastor Bill. Within the shortest time, try to show them the bad news. And then show them the good news that is awaiting them. Now, how are you going to show them the good news awaiting them and that you yourself still need the good news? So if you are this morning, you are here this morning, and you are not in relationship with Jesus, fix your eyes upon him. This will help you escape the wrath to come. This is the good news that you cannot compare with you getting a husband to marry or a wife to marry. This is the good news that you cannot compare with these people who are moving around the world. So I would like to be like that one. No, that's rubbish. This is good news that brings eternal life. This is good news that surpasses the wealth that they are deceiving you, some other pastors. And you believe them, and you start also chasing wealth. This is the only true good news for you. It falls on you before even you take it out to others. Are you fine with God? What I lack God for is, I lack God so much because death does not know age. Yeah, I know many of you say, yeah, Pastor Bill has started the other half, he's about to go, so you leave us alone. Who told you? Who told you? You can go tomorrow. You can go this afternoon. Pastor Bill might be the very last to go in this church. To go into glory in this church. You might all go before me. You can go this afternoon. We drive coffins, or we climb upon coffins to drive us the what you call safe border. Remove the word safe there. There's no safe border in Uganda. Which safe border do you ride upon coffins that can take you to hell or to glory anytime. Embrace the good news. Repent your sins and believe the gospel. Only that. You don't need to do more than that. The cost will follow you after you've entered the fold. But you who are still outside the fold, just repent of your sins. And you don't need to come and repent before the elders of RBC. Go deep into your bedroom. Cry to the Lord. Say, Lord, I've been sinning against you. Forgive me and save my life. I believe in you. And let this Jesus who is Savior to be also your Lord. Do you think he came to only be your Savior? No, if it was only for that, he would have remained in heaven. He wanted to come and save you so that he can be your Lord. A Savior has no word on the person he has saved. He just saves you and then you continue living your life and he goes. But a Lord, as they say, our prisoners are just locked down Mubende and the other Kasanda district. Because he has a say. He is the Lord of Uganda by God's mercy. So if you don't obey the commands of Christ found in the Bible, in this book, then Jesus Christ is not your Lord. And if he's not your Lord, trust it from me, get it from me, he's not your Savior. You are deceiving yourself. If you can't say, I want to abandon this and this and this because my Lord doesn't want me to do them. I know many want simply Christ to be their Savior. Lord, they don't want. If he's not your Lord, there's no way he can be your Savior. You have to obey his commands. That's the good news. And the good news does not end there. It continues up even up to the glories that we find in heaven. Yeah, because the bad news also goes up to the suffering in hell. So think about or tell them about the glories in heaven. The roads that are tarmacked by gold. Place where there will be no suffering, no sickness, no death. No segregation among tribes. Such a beautiful place. And if you want to know how beautiful heaven will be, just move around the world and see some cities that sinful, stinking children of Adam have put in place, have built. You look at New York, look at Beijing, you say, what's this? I'm saying, is this paradise or what? But yet all that is still rubbish. The good news that we are going to heaven. But how do you want to go there? I am the way, the truth, and life. No one will come to the Father except through me. First, put your intellectualism down, your wisdom down. Embrace this foolish way that takes people to heaven. Go out and tell people these stories. Yeah, I know the biggest problem, I know it very well, is how to break the ice. Yes, how to open the door. Because many people tell you, to narrating to them about the bad and the good news is not difficult to me. But how do I start? That's for next week, the Lord willing. If he comes back tomorrow, they will go into glory. If he tarries, if he delays, next Sunday. How do you begin? Amen. Father, I thank you for these words. Bless them in our hearts. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.